The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1.
Text 51551. Hi, Derek. I'm listening to you in Glasgow. I got a card yesterday from a friend telling me her new grandson was born the day before, which was great news. It's so unusual to get anything other than official letters by snail mail now that getting this card was extra nice. Hello to all of my family in Tremore. And that's from Anne Cudahy. Another one here. Hi, Derek. I am what one calls a shopaholic. My New Year's promise to myself was not to use my Visa card in January. So I hid it away in the press. I got my Visa bill this week, and guess what? I'm very, very proud of myself, Derek. As you know, I now know, I don't need it, says Noreen. Well done to you, Noreen. Congratulations. We could all do a little bit of that. Now, I want you to cast your mind back to 1972. It was the year of Fiddler on the Roof, Diamonds Are Forever, and The Godfather.
He'll set up a meeting with someone that you absolutely trust, guaranteeing your safety. And at that meeting, you'll be assassinated.
Ben Affleck and Gwyneth Paltrow were born, the Moody Blues, Led Zeppelin and ABBA were flying high, and Don McLean topped the international charts with this classic.
So bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry.
When asked in later years what the American Pie song meant, McLean joked, "It means I don't ever have to work again."
This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
The Atari made Pong was the first commercially successful video game. Digital watches were introduced, and HBO launched the first television subscription cable service. The year was 1972, and the Volkswagen Beetle became the most popular car ever sold. It was also the year that British Leyland started producing the Triumph Dolomite.
Wood cappings on the doors, a convenient adjustable steering column, a complete instrument pack, and even velour seating.
When you consider what it has on the inside, what it does on the outside, the new Triumph Dolomite is a car worthy of anyone's consideration.
The Godfather trilogy was still in production in 1990, unlike the Dolomite, which only lasted till 1980. Sadly, it went out of fashion along with bell bottoms, trouser suits and platform shoes. It was, nevertheless, a car which was and continues to be held in great affection by many people. But why am I taking you on a trip down memory lane into the 1970s? Well, recently I was driving past Northern Cross on the Malahide Road. Just before you get to Coolock, where the giant glass Tesco store is on the left-hand side, and I noticed a few cars for sale along the road where there are some caravans parked up. Now, it looks like a small halting site, but what really caught my attention was what I thought was an old Triumph Toledo for sale, and I thought, we must investigate this. So who better to commandeer than our old friend and motoring journalist Michael Sheridan? Michael, this is the car I was telling you about on the telephone.
Yes.
I thought it was a Triumph Toledo, but actually as we get close to it, we can clearly see the D on the side.
I feel the need to sort of go all adenoidal and say, well, it's actually not a Toledo, but it's very closely related. No, it's a Dolomite. Now, to those of a certain vintage, if you grew up in the 70s, you'd know this car, you'd know the shape. It's classic British Leyland boxed saloon car. So you have a box in the front with an engine, which in this case is a puny. It's either 1.3 or 1500. I'll just have to check the reg. It's got four doors, it's got wood veneer on the inside, and it's got a booted section at the back where you'd probably have enough for maybe a small suitcase by today's boot standard. It is absolutely held together by the last few drops of paint we can see on it.
There are it's holes, held together by the rust.
There is holes as big as the Brandenburg Gate in the body. Around the front, it's actually been dissolved away. And all the sills, right, the key part, you know, rust on panels you can live with because you can remove the rust, you can put filler in, or you can patch things up. But structural things like the floor and the under part, the sill, which is the bit that runs between the wheels that supports where your feet go, where the seats bolt onto, the sills here that connect to the floor are just completely rotted away. So this is what would need to be a nut and bolt restoration.
And a nut to buy it, perhaps, maybe.
Well, yeah, you know what? But it's of its time. It's got its original wheels. It's got all the detailing is there, pretty much. But it would be a massive undertaking to take this on, to restore it. Whether you'd ever get your money back, it's a simple answer. No, you never would, because it would cost you so much to restore it. But it is of its time, and you can rest assured that this vehicle, as people go past it, if you're of a certain age, people go, "Oh, look at the Triumph! Look at the isn't it a lovely old thing?"
When I drove by, I thought it was a Toledo, because a neighbour across the road used to have a Triumph Toledo.
Yeah,
well, and so they look very similar. So this comes before the Toledo or after the Toledo?
This was in and around the same time. The Toledo was a poorer man's version, and this came out in 72, and they made around 200,000 of these. So this was from 72 to 80. So as a British Leyland car, because we didn't have... Remember, Japanese cars were only just started coming into the country in the late 70s. So we had French cars, and we had Fords, and we had British Leyland cars. Now, the legacy British Leyland has left behind us. There's some beautiful shaped cars that we'd look at and go, "Oh, I love the shape of that one. Wasn't the Rover, the SD one, wasn't it just a gorgeous looking thing?" But they were absolutely appallingly built. The workers, the worst of the sort of the trade union movement in the UK, that was such a cliche about people saying, "Look, tools down," because they wanted more work and they didn't want to build cars. They really built dreadful cars, and they never realised and never saw what was coming around the corner, which was car companies coming in with better built cars at a cheaper price. And before you know it, the British industry died, and British Leyland, and unfortunately Dolomite, is a symbol of what the worst of the British car industry was. A terrible, terrible abused industry, which the government and workers, when they locked horns together, they just didn't realise what they were doing. They were just getting rid of the car industry. The car industry in the UK now is all the major manufacturers from other countries, Nissan, all of the rest, even Jaguar, all of these, they're owned by Indian companies now. So, yep, there's a wheel just barely held on. As you can see, somebody did try and spray it up to make it look like the metal was a shiny sort of silver at one stage. But you can see behind the paint and the bubbles, it's pure rust. So that thing would probably just dissolve if you tried to roll it away. Side mirrors with chrome. Little fly windows. So you have your windy down window. No electric windows here. And a little fly window in front of it, which you'd often see. I have memories of that. You'd see a cigarette being tipped out and ash being flicked. The little fly window is a great ventilation system. It just pivoted slightly, and it's maybe 12, 13 inches tall. And it was a really simple way of getting ventilation into a car. But look at the dash. We can see inside. Look at all the dials. We've got speedometer, we've got rev counter, we've got temperature, we've got voltage, we've got fuel, we've got, I think we don't have oil pressure, but we've got a clock. We've got wonderful detailing in a dash which has an inlay of wood. And you just don't see that
anymore.
And
that big button, the hazard warning lights. Remember the big button?
Which probably should have been on all the time when this thing was driving.
I should say. And is that the choke there?
There's a choke.
Just pull out?
There's a pull-out choke. And a ventilation system, which is very simple, with levers. So you push it one way, it's warmer. You push it one way, it's cooler. And a nice sporty-looking gear shift there, the manual gear shift, nice and close. And this is exotic because this one had safety belts. Look, inertia reel safety belts, which were quite posh in the
70s. But no headrests.
Or head restraints, as we should call them.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
so if you want whiplash, this is certainly going to help you get that in a crash. Wood veneer, it would need a little bit of work. You can see the lacquer's peeling off it here. But underneath that is pure wood. You know, none of this chemical plastic nonsense. This is wood. Chrome handles for the doors. And again, around the back, and the chrome is lifting off the chrome bumper.
The chrome bumper is lifting.
And then we've got the Dolomite badge and that black inset, which was quite sporty because there was a version of this called the Dolomite Sprint, which I must say I coveted. And it was even used once, I think, in the professionals. Bodie and Doyle. Doyle, played by Martin Shaw, I think he had a Dolomite Sprint in one of the early episodes because Leyland used to supply them cars, but they never knew how to deal with continuity. So they'd come up one day with one car and then the next week they'd bring a different car. And they said, "What's the story?" "No, he's meant to have just the same car each week." So in early episodes, you will see a Dolomite Sprint being driven in the professionals. And as you can see, it's an English reg on an N plate. And I just have to Google to find out the specific year. But that was the year marker
they
had around
the 70s anyway.
So yeah, so this is in the 70s. But yeah, it's an absolute pile of utter rubbish, but it's fantastic at the same time.
No, it's lovely. How much do you think it would sell for?
You see, As it stands, it can't go on the road. There's no way on God's earth it would be signed off on by an engineer. So as a bit of nostalgia, it's still not at the point where it's worth anything, because the restoration is going to be done by a madman who loves the car, who then at the end of it will have something which is fantastic and maybe worth 10,000-15,000 euros, something like that, when they've finished. But they'll have spent 30,000-40,000 euros doing it.
Okay, well, the man who's selling it isn't here.
Shame.
I asked one of his neighbours, and the neighbour said, no, he's away off today.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't know if it's worth much money. And I said, oh, I'm sure it could be worth a few quid. He said, oh, he'd take 500 for it, is what he told me.
Well, if he says he'd take 500 for it, if he gave it 50 quid and said, I'll take it away today, he'd probably be glad of it.
Somebody will buy it.
No, somebody will. If you really want something, and if something floats your boat, and if this was your dad's car, if this was your granddad's car, the joy you'd get from restoring it, putting it back together again, and then taking it out would be just fantastic. And that's the emotional side of motoring, and particularly used cars, that it's wonderfully emotive. And if you get the right thing and you bring something back with tender loving care, it's fantastic.
It's a classic.
It is a classic. As it stands, it's a classic pile of poop. But if it was restored, it would be a classic machine, and it would be lovely to have. And I tell you, hipsters, oh my God, hipsters would die for this car. I could see this driving down through Donnybrook, the guy there with a really long, well-combed beard.
And he's only 20.
Yeah, and he's listening to music that he never heard the first time round. And he would absolutely adore this machine, and he would look so cool. Yeah, it would bring a tear to a glass eye, the nostalgia now, just seeing this car here and the state it's in. Hopefully, fingers crossed, some kind soul will do the right thing and restore it.
Thank you very much indeed, Michael. I said earlier on that this song was released in 1972, and you are very observant because you told me it was 1971.
They are all I need to please me.
Can you tell me who sang it? If you can, text me to 51551. After the break, we'll be playing Mooney's Saturday Quiz.
Follow us on Twitter at RTE Mooney.